Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. This is episode number 176. I'm the producer, William Stringer, and to my right, we have our co-host and head chef of Locals Restaurant, John Fraser.
Hey, well.
And to my left, we have co-host Darren Howlett, local food entrepreneur and owner of three toy companies. We can do a podcast just that on its own. It's Darren Howlett.
Hey, how you doing?
And today we are meeting Twyla Skinner, who is general manager of the Comox Valley Farmers Market. Twyla can be seen in a high visibility waistcoat at each farmers market, hopping from stall to stall and making sure everything is running smoothly. Today we want to learn a lot more about what she does and also how she got here. What makes the farmers market so successful and so pivotal to the food scene here in the Comox Valley. Now, although Twyla's heart is 100% anchored in the Comox Valley food scene, she actually started out in a very different place, studying geology at Simon Fraser University. She then landed a job in mineral exploration, working in British Columbia, the Yukon, as well as a little bit in Ontario and Quebec. And this involved things like soil sampling, drilling, mineral exploration, and mapping. The idea being that she would be hunting for gemstones, gold, copper, emeralds, and rubies, all of that good stuff, with the overall task being to discover enough to justify setting up a mine. Now, fast forward to 2012, she bought Pirate's Pond Farm in Dove Creek, a small farm producing chicken eggs, duck eggs, turkeys, pigs, and chickens, as well as vegetables, some of which she sold at her stall at the Comox Valley Farmers Market, where she quickly joined the board as a vendor. It was at this point she really started to see the importance of food and sustainability and wanted to be part of it, as well as being self-sufficient herself. This brings us to the present day, where the Comox Valley Farmers Market has over 100 vendors between three markets. It is quite simply critical to our valley's food scene. Without further ado, I give you Twyla Skinner. Welcome.
Thanks, Will.
Will, I love the applauding at the end. I think we have to do this with all of our guests.
Yeah.
But a special one goes out to the general manager of the farmer's market, because I feel like the farmer's market actually sort of got this podcast going in some ways, because it was with my old co-host Blaine, and he was like, "This farmer's market, I don't understand it." I'm like, you just go in and buy food. And he's like, "But I feel like there's all this pressure." Okay, let's go to the farmer's market. And we went in there and I started introducing him to a couple of the vendors. And he's like, okay. So he's bought some chicken and some zucchini. And then by a month or two went by, and all of a sudden he knew more people at the market than I knew, because he just got really excited about this and just started buying from everyone. And then he's like, "We got to talk about this and share this." And that's kind of how this podcast came. So it's nice to go back and sort of revisit what makes Comox Valley's farmers market so wonderful. And also just to talk to you and find out how you got involved and so people know your story.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm saying the least here, but yeah, welcome to the show. Like, what can we just jump right into it?
Yeah, definitely. Let's go for it.
Okay. Well, what was it about the farmer's market that drew you to wanting to be the head of the farmer's market or in charge of it? Like, where was that step?
It was just kind of a natural step. Things were changing for me on the farm, and it was an opening came up, and it was a natural step. Mm-hmm. I have a background in project management, and so there's a lot of parallels between what I was doing in project management in mineral exploration for what I'd be doing as a general manager for the farmers market. So it kind of made a natural fit for me to go in too. Plus, I also really had a lot of interest in food security in the farmers market and being able to feed myself and be able to feed others. So it made a nice fit.
And how long has that been now?
I started at the farmer's market as a vendor in 2014. And so I've been doing that for a while. And then I started on the board. And then about almost 3 years ago, I started as a general manager for the farmer's market.
And what kind of, what has, under, say, your guidance or direction, what has has anything changed? Have there been any new things that you introduced or any like sweeping differences?
No, the farmers market, we've been going for 28 years now, and we've kind of set the bar, and so we're just trying to keep that bar, maintain it, and do what we can to make sure that it stays steady and that we're not deviating from what we have done.
What I mean, in light of everything that's going on right now in the world, which is quite a bit, we don't need to list it all, has there been any major setbacks or differences, especially with social distancing? Has that impacted everything?
It has. It's made a difference in what we're doing. We're still doing all the stuff that we are doing. We've just had to come up with different ways to do it. We've had to be a little bit more creative in how we do things and what we do things at the market level, but also with each individual vendor as well. They have to come up with different ways of being able to show their product without sampling, for example, because we're not allowed to sample at the moment. So vendors have to come up with creative ways in order to give the customer an experience of what they can taste when they can't actually taste it. So they've had to think of outside of the box. Yeah. And so we've had to do that as well.
That's almost heartbreaking to me, because I think that's one of the best parts of the market is just being able to sample some of those flavors. Right. Like it's interesting to see the difference of bringing their fresh stuff off of the fields and directly to you, and just the extra life I think you get in the vegetables just from that.
It's true. The stuff you buy at the farmer's market is picked within 24 hours for the most part, unless it's a crop that needs to be cured, garlic, for example. It comes, is picked within 24 hours of it coming to the market. So you get, or baked. The bakers are baking it that evening, that morning. They're baking it fresh. So everything comes fresh to the market within 24 hours. So you're getting the best flavor, the best of everything, the best it could be, versus having it come up from California or somewhere else where it has to sit a couple of days or weeks before you even get it. You're getting it fresh, super fresh.
Well, this is actually maybe a great thing is maybe for someone, and I don't know if there's anyone in this town who's not been to the farmer's market, because it's kind of like the staple for us. But how would you describe the market to our listeners?
So things have changed a little bit because of COVID-19. So before COVID-19, we can just step back a little bit. We were an event, something that people wanted to come to. You could go, you can meet your friends, your family, someone you haven't seen in a while. You could grab a cup of coffee, a cinnamon bun, sit down, relax, listen to some live music, and pick up some fresh groceries. And you can have a lot of social time. There are dogs at the market. There are lots of people. There's lots of things to do. We'd have activities. So it was a big event to come to, but you still were able to get all of your fresh groceries and taste things and sample things and smell things and be a part of it and touch and feel and all that kind of stuff. COVID-19 has changed that a little bit. We are not an event now. We are just simply a grocery store. Because of COVID-19, we have had to take all of that stuff away. We really want it back. We miss it. We love the live music and the interaction and all the social aspect of it. Having to come down and meet your friends and family and have a cinnamon bun and coffee. You know, it's a great thing to do. So we've had to change that, but you still get the full farmer's market feel. You can still go to the booth. You can still smell the fresh raspberries or the melons and all that kind of stuff when you walk into the booth. You're not able to sample it now, but you can still go down there and get the fresh, all the fresh produce.
Have you found that there's the demand for food more at the market now than the socialized? Like, I mean, what I'm trying to say is that are there more people, you know, investing in local food now because of the situations that have taken place recently?
I think so. We do keep track of our numbers, but because of things changing and we can't compare apples to apples, we're comparing apples to oranges. So I think overall, though, people are wanting to support local as much as they possibly can. People are seeing people buying more all at once. They're buying more rather than just coming in and doing their socializing. They're coming in just buying stuff. So maybe before they come, they buy a cinnamon bun. Yeah, I will buy some carrots. But now they're actually looking at it as a grocery store, coming with their list and buying as much as they possibly can at the farmer's market.
Oh, that's great. I mean, that just adds to the economy here within the community.
It does. And it shows in our numbers, too. We keep track of it. And we can see over the past several years, we've been keeping track. You can see that the number of gross sales has gone up dramatically since 2014 when we started recording all of this stuff. It's gone up significantly. And the impact on the economy, our direct gross sales are about $1.9 million. Now, that's direct gross sales. So that doesn't include things like animal feed or ingredients or other things that vendors would buy to put in their product. That is the indirect one. If you take that, and depending on what study you look at, it's a factor of one or up all the way up to three times that amount of those direct sales. So three times almost $2 million, that's a lot put back into the local economy, constantly increasing, which shows us that people really, really want to support local as much as they possibly can.
I know that you used to do, or I'm assuming there's still a token system where you go in, you buy tokens, and those tokens are available for any vendor. Is that in place still? Like, was that lifted, or is that like been restricted in any way because of this?
No, it's still in place. So our tokens are $5 wooden nickels, as people like to call them. Yeah. They're just little tokens, little wooden coins that you can purchase at the information desk, right. And then all of vendors take them. They're valid all year long. They never expire, and they act as cash. So if you buy something that's $2, they're going to give you $3 right. back in change. So it just acts as our market ATM without actually having physical money. It's our
right, our exactly. market currency. It was a great way of circumventing the fact that the onus wasn't on every vendor to now have some sort of taking credit or debit or whatever. They could go up, they could buy tokens, which were applicable anywhere. And I don't know if this was encouraged, but one of the things I love to do is I'll always go in there and buy 100 or so and include them in my gift giving at around Christmas. I don't know if we're supposed to walk out with the tokens, but I do, and I give them to people. But I also know that those people spend them right away. There are people that really love them being at the market. So
that is a form of our gift certificate. So when people say, hey, do you guys have a gift certificate? That's what it is. And people do. They buy it for the teachers at the end of the year. They buy it for gifts for family, maybe they're out of country and or out of the province, and they want to buy it for someone who lives in the Comox Valley. Then they will phone ahead and say, can I purchase this? And
great. I think it's great because it's something easily promotable outside of the actual thing. It's hard once, I guess what I'm saying is that it's easy to market to the people that are in front of you and showing up at your door, but it's hard to get the word out, convince people that have maybe staunchly for some reason, say, always hear about the market, but yet never come down. So to those people, those are the ones I'm usually targeting where I'm like, oh, well, here's $10. Like, go buy something local and try it out. Like, and you know, hopefully driving traffic down to there.
Can I add about the tokens? Mm-hmm. Another thing that has happened as a result of COVID-19 is a lot of vendors now have debit and credit, which makes it easier for customers to purchase things right at the vendor's booth rather than having to the market desk. So although we do have tokens, it's more convenient now for vendors to use their debit or credit card, purchase all the product they need to at the information desk or at the vendor, sorry.
So now let's talk a little bit about some of the vendors that are there. I mean, like, what can people expect to get when they go to the market? What products are available?
So we're a unique farmers market in the sense that we are a farmers market. There are lots of farmers markets out there that are farmers markets that have one or two or three or four or so farmers, but then they have a lot more crafters outweighing the amount of farmers. And don't get me wrong, we do love our crafters, but as far as a farmers market go, we stick true to being a farmers market. So we have what's called a farmers market mix. And so we aim to have 60% farmers at all times. And that varies obviously seasonally. Sometimes during the season, we'll have a little bit more of other vendors, but we are 60% farmers. And then we have bakers, processors, herbalists, concession, and alcohol vendors on top of that.
Right.
You can find a large variety of different types of food, all the way from arugula to zucchini with your farmers. And then you can have pasta, sauces, some alcohol. You can have some herbalists. So that's our soap vendors. Hand soaps, that type of thing, hand creams, body products.
Yeah.
And then you can have concessions. We have coffee there as well. We have fresh food that's made and lots of a variety in there. Yogurt. Yeah, there's lots cheeses. Of things that have been cheeses.
So what market in those has grown the most? Like, is there like a big demand for people coming in? Like, I'm thinking about someone who wants to become part of the market and become a vendor, you know, maybe just a little process of how they would get into becoming a vendor.
So they can become a vendor by going to our website and filling in our application. What we require from our vendors is that their product has to be made, baked, grown, raised, or wild harvested right here in the Comox Valley or Strathcona Regional District. So we have a specific catchment area. So if it's not made, baked, grown, raised, or wild harvested in that area, then you're not eligible to become a vendor. Right. And once you pass that one, then if you're selling food, then you need to have your food safe or market safe.
Okay.
And then you can apply, and then you would be vetted by the application review committee.
And usually how long does that process take?
It depends on the product that you're wanting to sell. If it's a farm-based product, that can be really quick. If it's something that's more of a processing one, then it might take up 2 months because the board is a volunteer board and we only meet once a month. So that could take up to a month, probably no longer than that.
Do you find that there's a certain segment that is constantly applying? versus others? Like, is it predominantly applications from farms, or is it applications from, say, food vendors, or like, you know, bakers or processors?
It changes year to year and market to market, but for the most part, farmers, they're accepted no matter what, but it's bakers and processors that are kind of in the most demand right now. There's a lot of, or that most want to be in the market,
right.
But we have a set limit, so it's based on the number of farmers. So if we have less farmers, then we can have less bakers and processors. So that's kind of where the bottleneck is at the moment. That's the most
sticking
in demand
to that
one.
Percentile.
Yeah.
Yeah, just as I know, being that John and I have been in the food industry locally for quite a while, we've talked to many, many people. Yeah, there seems to be a lot of people that have said that they've made an application or they've tried to get in and it just doesn't happen. And that, like, I know that there's boom years and bust years, and that's just how it happens. But sometimes it sounds like you guys are just swamped with applicants, you know, people trying to be a part of it. But then I don't, like I said, I don't know what's going on right now with what's been happening. If there's been a retract, sort of a decline, or if it's
There's definitely still the demand there. It's based on the number of farmers. So the more farmers we get, then the more other vendors that we can have. So it's, if we can get more farmers, then we definitely can have more bakers and processors in there.
We definitely have a community with a lot of entrepreneurs in it that like to grow and build things. So I can see how a lot of people are interested. And I think the farmers market has been a great thing as an incubator to build a lot of businesses over the years, because I know a lot of places have been there, got their start at the farmers market. It's sort of like that place that you can introduce your product and start building from there. And I can think of some Tannadice Farm started off there, and they've kind of grown out of it, like Tree Island Yogurt. Yeah, they did.
I mean, but not just the incubation period of the business, but even just relationships. I've seen people that have met at each other, and that obviously on a common ground, you know, they're like-minded, they're right there, and then they go off and do products together or crossover kind of ideas. And yeah, I wanted to touch back on that, you know, I've been to other farmers markets and they're interesting and fun and, you know, great. But I really have noticed that our farmers market, the Comox Valley Farmers Market, is the social aspect is there. Like, at first I didn't know what it was. I couldn't put my finger on what was so different about this farmer's market, but it really is a social scene. Like, it's, as you said, like, you painted a great picture there in that there is music playing, there are vendors there, there's bustling conversation, but there are tons of people that use it as a meeting point. Like, that's where they see their friends through the week. That's where they touch in. That's where they learn about new whatever might be coming up or what. That's it. I don't want to say it's where, you know, you get the latest gossip, but it kind of is. There's a lot of food news happening there when you're there. Like, John and I were vendors there very briefly years ago. I had never been as dialed into the food scene as I was on those Saturday morning. All that information where everything sort of came together for us and we knew what was going on in the community. It was fantastic and I miss it.
I think that what happened with me is that I established communications with people outside of the market. So I would have them delivering to my restaurant, but I would still go down to the farmer's market because then, you know, just to check in with people and see what was happening. And even though we have social distancing is what now, it's still part of the experience, I think, is just even then.
The connection is key. You want to know, not just as a chef, but as customers as well, you want to know where your food is coming from, and having establishing that connection is important. You want to know what's going into that chicken or to those eggs, or what's being put on any of the produce that's coming. Does it have pesticides? Is it not? It's very important for people to know where it's coming from. And that connection is where you make it, is at the market.
Well, part of food is, I think, the story. Like, as a chef, being on your menu is having that story behind it, saying, this is the farmer. This is how they made it. This is how they grow their product. You can sample it and you can taste the love that's in there. I wanted to talk a little bit, too, about some of the other markets that, because I think we're mainly been talking about the Saturday market, which is down at
it's at the Comox Valley Exhibition Grounds.
Exhibition.
Until we move. So we're there basically from April till October, and then we move from October again until April.
Right. And then you're currently in the Native Sons Hall for that?
At the moment, but because of COVID-19, we're going to have to change that. Oh. I'm not exactly sure where we're going to be. It's a work in progress, but we'll make sure that people know that when it comes time.
So keep your ears out for where the market will be moving to next. And then you did a couple other markets throughout the year too, like you do the downtown market.
That's right. We have two summer seasonal markets, one in downtown Courtney, and that one is basically the end of June until the beginning of September. And we run that in combination with the Downtown Courtney Business Improvement Association and Comox Valley Arts. So it's kind of a combined market. So this year was a little bit different because of COVID-19. We didn't have the arts part of it. Last year, we did have the arts part in the farmers market. So we try to make it more of an event type of thing.
That's the one that's located, what, Duncan or Fitzgerald's? Like they shut down part of the street in the
Fifth
Wednesday
and
evening?
England.
Between Fifth and England.
Close.
Well, circling. Downtown core. Yeah.
Name every street in downtown and we'll get it.
It has changed, to be fair. It has changed over the years. So.
But yeah, that's that one. That's the one. And that was Wednesday evenings?
Wednesday evenings, yes.
And then there was another.
There was another one. Our other one is on Sunday in Cumberland. Mm-hmm. And that one is relatively new. We've only had that one going for 5 years now. And that one is actually going really well. It's a pretty successful one. It's a nice little small market. It's definitely, each of the markets has its own little feel and own energy to it. So it's, they're different customer base. They all feel a little bit different.
Is it different vendors then?
Some of the same vendors, but there are different vendors there as well.
Comox Valley Canning was in here and she was saying how she really likes to do the Sunday market.
Yeah. That's right.
And spends a lot of time up there.
It's a place to start. So they, like going back to your point about incubator businesses for the farmers market, they start at some of the smaller markets at Wednesday or Sunday, and then they kind of grow a little bit bigger. We have the space and they get into the Saturday market and they get a little bit bigger there and they can test the waters and see what kind of products that they have. And that's one of the unique things about the farmers market is that we are an incubator business. When people come to the market, they're not just buying from the farmers market, they're buying from all the individual businesses that are there. So you can think of the farmers market as, say, on an average Saturday during the summer, we can have up to 70 vendors. So if you're buying product, say five different types of products, you're buying from five different small businesses within the Comox Valley. So you're supporting your support kind of reaches out a little bit farther.
Well, I've really loved about the farmers market here, but we should get into a little bit about yourself and what brought you to the Comox Valley and what made you get into farming and then take over the market. How did that all happen?
It's something that kind of grew over time. My then partner, we decided that we wanted to be self-sustaining. We wanted to try and grow our own food and try and make as much as we can or grow as much as we can ourselves to try and see what we could do. And over time, that's where we started getting into farming and we got a little bit bigger and we decided, well, let's kind of step into the farmer's market and see what we can do. If we can feed ourselves and we can spread it out, maybe we can help other people. Maybe we can maybe get the idea into other people's heads to be a little bit more self-sustaining. And we just kind of started from there and it kind of grew. And then it's kind of the next step was to, after the farmer's market, then step up to doing the board stuff and kind of get a little bit more involved and see what's in the back end of things, how it works and what does happen and what's involved in everything. And then things kind of changed and eventually grew from there and position opened up and I was able to step into the general manager position and kind of expand things at that time.
Was it the, was the purchase of the farm that Will did a great summary of sort of what brought you here. The thing that I didn't pick up on was with buying the farm, is that what drew you to the valley or were you in the valley and then you saw the farm available and picked up or the grounds?
Doing the sustainability part and then getting the farm. So I wasn't actually here on the island. I was what I call couch surfing for several years because of my job in mineral exploration. I was never home very long. So I kind of just stay here and there and everywhere. And then eventually when we decided to do this, moved to the island and that's where we started farming.
And how did the connection between your previous job and your new job, how did that play together?
Actually, more than most people would think, because when I was doing project management in mineral exploration, you'd have to get permits, you'd have to put maps, make maps, find places for the drills to go, getting permits, talking to people, doing presentations, and that I do the same thing, but just instead of talking to the about mines and all that kind of stuff, I'm talking to the health authority. So it's just shifting what I'm doing. I'm still talking to the same thing, still doing presentations, still making maps, but I'm making maps at a different scale. I'm dealing with farmers instead of drillers. It just kind of became a natural transition. So I was able to.
And see, I would have thought it would have been the other way where you were dealing with ground and you would take that knowledge and that mineral rich ground and then apply that to farming. I would think that that would be the connection. That would be the sort of shuffling over point from one career to the other.
There is some of that as well, because one of the key things in farming and growing things is soil. And I've done a lot of soil sampling. So there is that. And we ask for some of our products, they have to have pH tests. And so I know about pH. So I have some of that background. I can know what it is and I can help the farmers, you know, learn what that is and how to deal with all of that.
I think at your core, you're actually an event organizer. I think that's what brings everything together, being able to spin so many plates at the same time.
There's definitely a lot of happening on market day and outside of that, but you have to be good at organizing and trying to figure out where to put things and to work on the fly because things change all of the time. And it's not just one thing or another. You just have to work and on it and
problem
it
solving
problem
on the go.
Yeah.
And so what do you see happening? Like, where does the future go? Maybe not necessarily for the market, or maybe for the market, but what do you have your sights set on? What's next?
In light of everything that's going on with COVID-19, food security and sustainability is something that's big and something that we need to emphasize a little bit more. And I think this is the time to do it because it's so fresh, it's so raw right now. We have to think about how we're going to deal with it. So trying to make sure that people understand that and educate people and try and get more farmers and grow the farmers market so that we can be prepared for something that's happening like this. We can try and make ourselves as food secure as we possibly can.
Yeah. And if you don't mind, I mean, we have talked food security a few times with other guests, but what does that mean to you? How do you define food security? I mean, what if there was a disaster where we were cut off from the mainland, because we are an island for all of our listeners? How long could we keep ourselves self-sustained food-wise? And it's probably a lot less than you would think, which is weird when you look at how we are completely agricultural island, but yet we're sort of dependent on certain things on the mainland. So is food security, is that independence, or is food security guarantee of future crop, or what is food security to you?
Food security is a big thing. It's not just making sure we have enough food. It's a very complex thing. For what we're looking at right now at the farmers market, it's to being able to provide enough food to make sure that we have enough food. Before the 1950s, we were producing up to 85% of our food here on the island. Now we're down to 5 to 10%. And if something does happen, we get cut off, we have 2 to 3 days worth of food here on the island. So we have the land, we have the ability, we have the technology, we can grow things year round here. So we need to start making use of that so that if something does happen, we are prepared. We need to be able to do that. So food security in my mind right now is trying to educate people and try and encourage people to grow things. And maybe they're not going to end up at the farmer's market, but they learn how to grow something and start feeding themselves a little bit more. And
relax on that sort of dependence of outside sources for food and start taking a little more of being in charge of your own food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially when it grows here so well.
Yeah.
It does.
We're very lucky. Like, there's a reason they call us the land of plenty.
I will say, I mean, I know this is deviating off topic, but I will say I'm really inspired lately to see how many of our friends in food have started giving up their front yards in exchange for big gardens. And I'd love to see that trend keep going. I think that's fantastic. I was going to say, where can they find you? I suppose we should talk about that. Where can they find you and how can they talk more with you or get in touch with you?
So our Saturday market runs year round. From April to October, we're outside at the Comox Valley Exhibition Grounds. And from October till April, we're inside. And normally we're inside at the Native Science Hall, but we're not sure where that's going to be yet because of COVID-19. We have space issues. We were already bursting at the seams, which is a good problem to have, that we're bursting at the seams, but it doesn't help us with the COVID-19 physical distancing. So we are working on that. So we'll have updates on our social media channels and our websites with regard to that. So Saturday's year-round, 9 to 1. We only take 2 weeks off at Christmas time. But other than that, we go year-round. Then we also have our Sunday market from mid-June till about mid-September, and that goes from 10 to 1. So that market just finished recently. We also have our Wednesday market that runs from 4 till 8 or 4 till 7 this year. It was 4 till 8 last year, but 4 till 7 this year. And that's Wednesday from the end of June until the beginning of September.
Perfect. And if people have questions, comments, curiosities, and how do they get in touch with you without coming down necessarily?
They can look at our website. We have a newsletter that comes out regularly. They can sign up for our newsletter. They can also email us at info@cvfm.ca. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. So you can check us out on there.
Perfect.
I have one last question because it's something I went to your website and checked it out, but something new you've started is an online market.
That's right. In response to COVID-19, we started an online market in March. And we're going to continue that market for a while. It's easy to do. You just go onto our website, cvfm.ca, and click the green button that says online store. And there you can select the products that you want to buy per vendor. And we can make arrangements for delivery or pickup or make some other kind of arrangements with the vendor. But you can purchase all of your products online.
So you can beat the line. So when you go in there to get that one baked good that you just love and you get there a little bit late and it's already sold out, you can circumvent that?
You can pre-order. So if you know that you can't be there for whatever reason, you can pre-order and have it set aside, and then you know it's guaranteed for it to be there when you arrive.
Gotta love technology, right?
And I think in the time of COVID right now, that's going to be something key, especially when we move outside or inside from outside. Right. It's... when we're outside, there's a lot of physical distancing. We're outside, it's a better place to be. Going inside is changing things up a little bit. So right. I think the online stores could potentially be, for a lot of people, a good way to still get all of their local groceries without having to go to a grocery store or anything like that.
I can imagine, too, that the benefit for the vendors would be if they have orders ahead of time. Because I know quite often, literally just thinking of the last 5 or 6 people that we've had on, when they talk about going, it's sometimes an estimation of what they think will sell. Although they had more that they could have brought with them, it's just not feasible. If there's a list there of things that they know people are expecting or hoping or whatever, then they can pack accordingly as they go to the market. I suspect that that would help everyone.
It will, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in and chatting with us. It was great to have you in here, and I've learned so much about the market. I think I learn more about the market every time I talk about it. So it's just, and I'm proud of our Comox Valley market, because I think it's a real, real amazing thing. And I think the people involved with it and yourself are great for what you do for our community.
I absolutely agree. I think that it's such a pillar of our community and so important and vital to our local food scene. And thank you so much for coming in and talking with us.
Well, thanks for having us. I really appreciate it. And we really appreciate everyone supporting local. That's what's going to keep our farmers market going and keep it growing.
Cheers. And let's round of applause, Twyla and Comox Valley Farmers Market. Thank you very much.
And once again, thank you for supporting us, and more importantly, supporting the people that make up your food community. We're always looking for new stories to share and people to talk with. So don't forget to follow us at Facebook at the Edible Valley Podcast or Instagram at Edible Valley. Our website, ediblevalley.com, to tell us what you want to hear, or if you have any questions for us, email us at theediblevalley@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us, because you never know where we'll be exploring next in the Edible Valley.
You cut this down,
man. I'm getting better. Okay, so check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Well,
hello, check, 1, 2, 1, 2. It's going to be great to have my microphone on this time.
Yeah, that's right.
10 minutes,
check,
was it?
Check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Okay, and Darren.
It's me. It's Darren, right here.